Others, less sympathetic, interpreted his last message as a madman's wild boast. It made little difference which interpretation was accepted. James Hudson Cavour was never heard from again. A hard core of passionate believers insisted that he had developed a faster-than-light drive, that he had succeeded in giving mankind an instantaneous approach to the stars. But they, like Cavour himself, were laughed down, and the stars remained distant. Distant, but not unreachable, the Lexman space drive saw to that. Lexman and his associates had developed their ionic drive in 2337 after decades of research. It permitted man to approach, but not to exceed, the theoretical limiting velocity of the universe, the speed of light. Ships powered by the Lexman space drive could travel at speeds just slightly less than the top velocity of 186,000 miles per second. For the first time, the stars were within man's grasp. The trip was slow, even at such fantastic velocities as the Lexman space drive allowed. It took 9 years for a ship to reach even the nearest stars, stop, and return. A distant star, such as Bellatrix, required a journey lasting 250 years each way. But even this was an improvement over the relatively crude space drives then in use, which made a journey from Earth to Pluto last for many months and one to the stars almost unthinkable. The Lexman space drive worked many changes. It gave man the stars. It brought strange creatures to Earth, strange products, strange languages. But one necessary factor was involved in slower-than-light interstellar travel, one which the Cavour drive would have averted, the Fitzgerald contraction. Time aboard the great starships that lanced through the void was contracted. The 9-year trip to Alpha Centauri and back seemed to last only 6 weeks to the men on the starship, thanks to the strange mathematical effects of interstellar travel at high but not infinite speeds. The results were curious, and in some cases, tragic. A crew that had aged only 6 weeks would return to find that Earth had grown 9 years older. Customs had changed, new slang words made language unintelligible. The inevitable development was the rise of a guild of spacers, men who spent their lives flashing between the stars and the suns of the universe, and who had little or nothing to do with the planet-bound Earthers left behind. Spacer and Earther, held apart forever by the inexorable mathematics of the Fitzgerald contraction, came to regard each other with a bitter sort of distaste. The centuries passed, and the changes worked by the coming of the Lexman space drive became more pronounced. Only a faster-than-light space drive could break down the ever-widening gulf between Earther and Spacer, and the faster-than-light drive remained as unattainable a dream as it had been in the days of James Hudson Cavour. Sociocultural Dynamics, Leonid Hallman, London, 3876. End of prologue. Chapter 1 of Starman's Quest. Starman's Quest by Robert Silverberg, Chapter 1. The sound of the morning alarm rang out, four loud, hard, clear, gong clangs, and all over the great starship Valhalla the men of the crew rolled out of their bunks to begin another day. The great starship had traveled silently through the endless night of space while they slept, bringing them closer and closer to the mother world, Earth. The Valhalla was on the return leg of a journey to Alpha Centauri. But one man aboard the starship had not waited for the morning alarm. For Alan Donnell, the day had begun several hours before. Restless, unable to sleep, he had quietly slipped from his cabin in the fore section, where the unmarried crewmen lived, and had headed forward to the main view screen, in order to stare at the planet growing steadily larger just ahead. He stood with his arms folded, a tall, red-headed figure, long-legged, a little on the thin side. Today was his 17th birthday. Alan adjusted the fine controls on the viewscreen and brought Earth into sharper focus. He tried to pick out